If the Bible says God has good plans for us, why are so few people living in them? Don't miss this message. Today, I want to talk about something that I think we often miss, and that is we miss God's good plans. God does have good plans for us. I know the Bible clearly says that, but why is it if he has good plans for us, so few believers are living in it? So few people are really experiencing that. So I want to unpack that today in a message called The Pursuit Bigger Than You. So pursuing God and his will for your life is actually not just about you. It's bigger than you. So I want to unpack that today. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a scripture out of Jeremiah, and we're going to juxtapose it with a story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. And so what you call that when you do that is called systematic theology. It's where you take a principle and you show how it's played out in real life and real time with the character in the Bible. So that's what we're going to do today. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah 29:11. I'm excited about today's message because if you're trying to get some clarity from the Lord, today is a day for you. If you're trying to figure out what God has for you next, you are going to love this word. I believe this is a powerful word, but I also believe, honestly, this is a word that's gonna punch you in the face. I'm just gonna tell you right now that that's the way the word of God can be sometimes. And so this is one of those moments. And so I'm excited about delivering this though, because I believe this will help a lot of people. So look at scripture. It says this in Jeremiah 29:11, a scripture many of us are familiar with. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you." Now, God clearly says here, I know I have a plan for you. I've got good plans, not to harm you, but to bless you, to prosper you. God's saying, I want to hook you up. I want to do great things for you. I want to open doors for you. I've got great stuff planned for you. So it all sounds so great. You're like, this is awesome. Why is it if he has great plans, I'm not experiencing that? If you feel like you're missing out on that, I believe the second piece may be the issue. So he says what? So I got great plans for you. Then he says this, then you will call upon me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Ah, that's the crux right there. So God has great plans, but we often miss them because we're not quite seeking God with all our heart. All our heart means, God, I'm sincerely wanting whatever you want from me. How many of us are really there? Are we really okay with whatever God has plans? Or are we honestly going to God to rubber stamp our plans? See the difference? So are we really trusting that God has a good plan? Sometimes we feel like, oh, I can't do that because if I just say, God, whatever you want, he's going to send me to Africa to be a missionary and live in some hut. I don't want to do that. Well, first of all, let me get you in on something. God pre-wired you with his plan. So the people that are living in huts in Africa as missionaries want to. They have a desire to do that. So I just want you to feel safe in the arms of God that he's going to set you up with things that he's designed you to want. So that's good news. Isn't that good news to know that? Like, he actually has your thoughts in mind. He has your preferences in mind, okay? So the Lord's not going to send you to do something that you really don't want to do. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't miss God's will, because we can miss God's will. But God does have a general direction he wants you to go in a very specific direction as well. Now, I want to unpack a story about a guy named Ahab. He was one of the kings of Israel. At the time, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And by the way, I think that's important to note too, that there are two different kingdoms. One of them is called, they call one Israel, which is northern Israel. And the southern one, they just called Judah, okay? Because that was where the capital was. So you got northern and southern Israel. And isn't it interesting that you can be in the promised land and still have a divided family? You know, I mean, I could preach on that all day, right? And so it's like, yeah, you can actually be Christians, love the Lord, be putting God first, and still be at odds with people that also love the Lord, right? So that's kind of where this was at. But they did get along, but they were two separate kingdoms. And so the two kings, by the way, were Ahab. He was over the northern kingdom, and Jehoshaphat was over the southern kingdom, also just known as Judah, okay? And so I like to call Jehoshaphat J-Fat. That was his hip-hop name, okay? I think everyone should have a hip-hop name. Mine is Lil Bill. And so Lil Bill has a word for you today, okay? So let's talk about this. So here's what happens. It says in 1 Kings 22, Ahab turned to Jehoshaphat and asked, "Will you join me in battle to recover Ramoth Gilead?" Japhet replied to the king of Israel, "Why, of course. But first, let's find out what the Lord says." So Ahab has already been known to have been missing God's will. This is the same guy who Elijah had to front him, but basically confront him and say, "You're not following the Lord. You're not doing what he wants. You're just doing whatever you want." And Ahab was like, "Well, I talked to my wife about it, and she thinks, you know, you should die, and we hate you, and this and that." But he was kind of nice to Elijah. Ahab's big problem wasn't so much that he was disobedient as he was just weak. He just wouldn't stand up to his own wife, who was literally going against God's word directly. And he was like, "Well, you know, I'm married to her, you know, that kind of thing." And it was just like, no, but she's not obeying God. And as a king, you need to obey the Lord and put him first. And what Ahab did is he had 400 prophets that were all false prophets around him, just telling him what he wanted to hear. Well, Elijah confronted them. They all died. Now there's 400 new prophets. These are what we'll just call the replacements. And all the replacement prophets also just told him what he wanted to hear. Let me ask you something. Do you really want God's will, or do you just want what you want to hear? That's the real challenge, isn't it? So sometimes we miss God's will because we just want what we want. So let's pick up on the story and see what happens here. So it says in 1 Kings 22, verse 6, it says, "So the king of Israel summoned the prophets," that's Ahab, "summoned the prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, 'Should I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back?' They all replied, 'Yes, go right ahead. The Lord will give the king victory.' But Jehoshaphat asked, 'Is there not also a prophet of the Lord here?' So he recognized, hey, these guys aren't serving God. They're all serving Baal and Asherah and all these other false gods. Shouldn't we ask the God of Israel's prophets? Shouldn't we ask him? If we say we're going to God, we should go to the people that represent him, right?" And so look what happens. It says, "Should we ask him the same question? Ahab replied to Jehoshaphat, 'There's one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah. That's not the way a king should talk. Let's hear what he has to say.'" Oh, I love that line. Jehoshaphat's like, whoa. That's not how this works. That's not how you should talk. So let me put this in modern day terms. That's not how a husband should talk. That's not how a wife should talk. That's not how a Christian should talk. That's not how an employee should talk. That's not how an employer should talk. You see, your mouth gives away your heart. So Japheth's like, "I don't want to ask him what he thinks because he'll tell me something I don't want to hear." Oh, so Japheth, you really didn't want God's will. You want your will. You just want God to rubber stamp what you want to do. Now, let me be clear. Ramoth-Gilead, this area that was controlled by the king of Aram, was actually part of God's will for them to have. So the issue wasn't whether he was obeying the general will of God. He was obeying the general will of God, but he was disobeying the specific will of God. For example, you may say, "Well, I think the Lord generally wants me to be married." I would probably agree with you. I think God's designed us. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. So I would say, generally speaking, most of us should probably, you know, and have a desire built in us to seek out marriage one day, right? To someone to love and to be loved by. That's, I think, generally God's plan. That doesn't mean any man will do. That doesn't mean any woman will do. Just because you say, but I really love them and I'm crazy about them and I want to be married, I think it's God's will for me to be married. Well, don't confuse God's general will with his specific will. I think you're generally correct, but you can be specifically wrong. Does that make sense? So it's like, the prayer of, "Oh Lord, would you please give me a raise?" I think generally I've never heard anyone say, "God, please lower my salary." Never heard that once. So I think there's a general will that we should prosper, as Jeremiah 29 says. So God generally wants me to do better. That doesn't mean specifically that this is how you should prosper. So there's the general will of God and the specific will of God, and there's also the timing of God. God may be saying yes, but not now, or yes, but not them, or yes, but not there. So there's the general will of God and the specific will of God. So, but what we have happening, why are we missing out on God's good plan for us? The first one, number one, is because we want what we want. And we're just demanding what we want in the situation. So they go to Micaiah. He reluctantly goes to Micaiah. He doesn't want to, but Japheth's like, "Hey, that's not how this works. I know you're the king, but kings are supposed to answer to the prophet because the prophet answers to God." Okay? And so Japheth's like, "I know you got all these other people telling you what you want to hear, but we should ask God's prophet. These people don't represent God. This guy does. Let's go ask him," right? Did you notice there are 400 false prophets and only one true prophet? I just want to mention this because be very careful if the whole crowd thinks you should do something. That's normally a good indication it's not what you should do. Because remember, we're supposed to be set apart living differently. So if you're going to live different, you're not going to do it the way the world's doing it. So if the whole world's all in agreement, that's probably a good sign that they're wrong. So we need to slow down and be like, hold up, what does God say we should do? Now, look at 1 Kings 22. They go find Micaiah, the prophet of God. Micaiah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say." So now the king, Ahab, goes before Micaiah and says, "Hey, should we go attack Ramoth-Gilead? Should we take that territory? We know it's the Lord's. Should we take it back right now?" And this is what happens. "Should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we hold back?" Micaiah replied sarcastically, "Yes, go up there and be victorious, for the Lord will give you the victory." He's being sarcastic. First of all, that tells you they already have a relationship, right? If he can talk like this to a king, then he knows like, oh yeah, you should do that. That'll work out great. The king is furious. He's like, really? This is how you're gonna talk to me, right? And so look what happens next. "But the king replied sharply, 'How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?' Then Micaiah told him, 'Okay, I'll give you the truth.' He said, 'Oh, you want me to tell you the truth? Oh, that's different. You see, everyone else has been telling you what you want to hear, but I'm going to tell you what the truth is.' And then he gives him a vision. By the way, the Holy Spirit speaks through vision, okay? And so here we got the prophets. Remember in the Old Testament, the way God speaks to us, in the Old Testament is through prophets or an angel of the Lord. In the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit and other godly teachers. We've got circumstances. There's multiple ways God speaks to us, but one of those is through the Holy Spirit. But it says, he says this, Micaiah told him, "In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace.'" He's like, you can go if you want, but here's what God told me. You're gonna die. You'll die and the whole army will be scattered all over the mountain. Half of them wounded, the other half hiding, some of them dead, all because you didn't listen. Ouch. I mean, this is a harsh word, but is it harsh if it's right? I mean, is it harsh? Is it mean when the doctor tells you you have cancer? Is that he's so mean? Or would you be like, oh, no, if it's the diagnosis I want to know, I want to go to a nice doctor that tells me what I want to hear. Am I healthy? And the doctor's looking at the thing, you know, he sees your blood work. He's like, yeah, you're healthy. Is that a nice doctor or a mean doctor? That's a sick person, right? You'd be like, what kind of person would, right? So could it be that maybe God's will has a certain time, a certain location, a certain person? God just doesn't want me to be married. No, God's cool with that, but maybe not to an idiot. Oh, I get what you're saying. And so, in other words, like maybe God has a plan in a way. See, God's wired you for certain things, right? It's like a three-year-old that's like, "Daddy, I want to play ball. Let's go play in the street." And dad's like, "No, we're not going to do that. But you know, I designed the whole backyard for you. I have a good plan for you. It's just in the other side of the house. In the backyard, I've created a whole plan. I have a whole thing there. There's these walls, these boundaries called fences that protect you, that keep you safe. I designed it for you. Why do you want to play ball?" "Well, I want what I want. I want to play here." I mean, we could do that, but I don't think you understand the dangers. There's no boundaries. This is not the place to do that. I've designed everything right here. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I've got good plans. I want to play right here." We do this with God, don't we? "But I want what I want. But he's so cute. She's so hot." And God's like, "You don't think I'm making anyone else like that? Like there's no one else in the world that can be cute or hot? There's no one else in the world that can make you laugh? There's no one else in the world?" I mean, I'm pretty sure that if you hang out with a complete idiot, you'll fall in love with them over time because we're designed to fall in love. So maybe because you were boundaryless, that's how you ended up playing ball in the wrong place. When I've got a whole world that I've literally designed for you, if you'll just wait on me. You're just being mean. You're trying to stop my fun. And this is when we start praying things like this. "Oh God, please just help my relationship to turn around and may he or she fall in love with the Lord." And God's like, "Well, you got the order wrong. You're supposed to be in love with the Lord before you meet, not afterwards." And so, and then we start praying things like, "Oh God, just please help this relationship work out." And God's like, "I'm not required to finish something I didn't start. Oh God, please just, Lord, help me to make an A." And God's like, "Well, you mean you need a miracle because you didn't study," is what you're really saying. Is like, "But if you would have studied, I'll bless that. And how many times are we disobeying God in some general area and it's not going well? And then we're like, but God, just bless it. I was like, I'm not required to do that. So I bless what I bless, and I've designed the whole world here, but you're trying to remake what I've got. And so he's like, hey, Ahab, yes, Ramoth Gilead should be Israel's land, but you're not the one to go take it, and this isn't the time. He's like, I know the enemy, and I know where our camp is. I know you're not ready for this. And so sometimes God is not saying no, he's just saying not yet. He's saying you're just not there. So let's just chill out and let's wait, right? And so, but he didn't want to hear that. And so he says, should we go to war? And he says, yeah, sure, you should do that. You're going to get victory. Like, I hate when you talk. That's why I'm not going to come to you, Micaiah. You're just such a jerk. And he's like, oh, I'm a jerk. I'm telling you the truth. So we want what we want. So what does Ahab do? He goes to war, right? He's just been told, if you go to war, you're going to die. Guess what happens next? I know it's going to really throw you. Look what happens next. 1 Kings 22, verse 34. I'm badly wounded, he screams out in the middle of battle. Of course you are, bro, because you're not supposed to be there. Are any of you licking wounds from yesteryear when you know you didn't obey God, but you haven't changed your ways? Do you know you're setting yourself up for another wound? You're literally lining your life up for more pain. We keep doing the very thing that got us in the last mess, and somehow we think it's going to be different this time around. And so it doesn't change things, right? Look what happens. This is unbelievable. He says, I'm badly wounded. It'd be funny if it wasn't so sad and true. What happens next? I'm badly wounded. The battle raged all that day, and the king remained propped up in his chariot. Blood from his wound ran down to the floor of his chariot. Wow. So he continued to look like a king. He got shot by an arrow. He's bleeding out. He's like, just hold me up. He's standing there like, I'm a king, man. I'm the man. And he looked great, but no one could see on the inside of his chair. There's blood all over the floor. He's bleeding out. He's dying right in front of people. And this is one of the ways you know you're not in God's plan, is that you want to appear like you're got it together, but you're actually bleeding out on the floor. No one else sees it. But he's not obeying the Lord, and so guess what? You got shot. You were literally warned about this, Ahab, that you're going to die if you go into battle, and now you're dying, right? Let's go on the scripture. It says this. So the king died, and his body was taken to Samaria and buried there. Dogs came and licked his blood at the place where the prostitutes bathed, just as the Lord had promised. So basically, when I cut out a lot of the scripture because it's just a long story, but just suffice it to say, he said, yeah, you're going to die, and they're going to go throw your body. You know that really bad part of town? They're going to throw your body there, and dogs are going to come along, and they're going to lick your dead body. And he's like, this is terrible. I can't believe you give me this description. Well, it was literally exactly what happened, right? My favorite part of this scripture is so powerful. He says they propped him up in his chariot. You know what? How many of us right now, we're propped up? Man, I'm a Christian. I got my Bible. I got my devotional. Why do you have something called a devotional if you're not devoted? What's the point of carrying something around called devotional if you're devoted to your will that you're trying to tell God instead of getting God's will to you? But we want to be propped up. One of the ways you know you're missing God's plan is real simple. Is your marriage propped up? Oh, let's make sure we don't fight in front of anyone. Let's make sure we look spiritual. Or is your parenting propped up? All of a sudden you get mad at your kid for acting up. You're not mad that they acted up. You're mad they acted up in public because you never get on to them in private about it, but suddenly they do it in public and now you're mad at them. What are you doing? Propping up, gotta make sure we look spiritual. Oh yeah, we look like we got it together, but you're bleeding out. This is not an easy message, is it? But it's in the Word of God for a reason, because God loves you enough to say, quit acting like everything's going good while you're bleeding out and actually obey the Lord. It's simple. Oh, I forgot to mention something else about Ahab, by the way. Ahab had already ran off Elijah. Elijah told him the same thing. You're not honoring the Lord. You're honoring Baal and all these false gods. You need to honor the Lord. And so Elijah confronted them. Elijah won. 400 prophets were killed. He replaced all of them. He didn't change his ways at all. And now he's got Micaiah telling the same thing. So guys, you can get mad at this message all you want. You can even quit this church. But you go to another church and they preach this word, it still says it in the Bible. I don't like that preacher over at that church. He preached about tithing. Guess what? They're not going to take tithing out of the Bible. Go to another church, they're going to preach it there too. They're going to preach sacrifice at another church. They're going to preach obedience at another church. In other words, like, you can change out the prophets and the churches, but God's word stands and his truth remains the same. Either obey it or admit you're just propping yourself up. Are you propping up your life to look a certain way, or are you actually going to be that person? God doesn't want us living propped up lives where we look like we're in the battle when really we're just bleeding out. So let me ask you, are you bleeding out? You know how we know we're bleeding out is we're complaining about things that we can change. Oh, you know, my wife, I mean, she's just not interested in certain things, you know what I'm saying? Oh, that's actually not a sign that she's not interested because she was at one point, but you must have done some things, didn't that happen, right? So there's some areas in your life that you didn't adjust, and so since you're not honoring her in the kitchen, she's not really gonna be honoring you in the bedroom. Oh, well, that means I have personal responsibility, right? It means you're not following the word of God in Ephesians chapter 5 where it says, love one another, serve one another, honor one another, and guess what? That's showing up in the bedroom. How about this one? I don't know why my boss, I've been praying and praying, my boss just won't give me that raise. Well, maybe she showed up on time and actually did your work. Maybe he'd be more interested in giving you the raise. In other words, see, we like to always say, well, God's just not opening this door. And God's like, I'd be glad to open that door, but you gotta do your part where the Bible talks about you being faithful and being a servant and having the right attitude. And there's all kinds of scripture that talks about your work ethic. And so you're not doing your part, but then you're mad at God. What you're saying is when the boss walks in, oh, hey, what's up? Just working away over here. How you doing? Oh, you're propped up suddenly. But as soon as they leave, back to YouTube, what were you watching again? So you want to prop yourself up to look like a student. You got the cool backpack. We're going to go to class. We're going to come back. But you look great. You're just not doing any stuff that students need to do. I mean, you look great, Mr. Married Guy, but you're not Mr. Married Guy on the business trip. So we prop ourselves up to look spiritual and holy and responsible. And God's like, that's not how this works. God says, I will not be mocked. It says, what you sow, you will reap. And so Ahab, you can prop yourself up like this great king of Israel, but the way kings of Israel in the past were is they listened to the Lord's prophet. And you're not doing that, so you're done. Can I just challenge you right now that this may be God's will giving you a huge warning. So I lovingly say, in Jesus' name, quit ignoring God and obey his will before you hurt yourself again. How many more people, how many more bodies have to be strewn across the land for you to finally obey God? You know what makes me obey the Lord? I would love to say just a natural obedience that I just have built in me, but no, I am just like you. I want to do my own thing. You know what makes me obey the Lord? When I look at how much time and energy I waste on foolishness. I'm like, oh God, I could be so much further along with you in my walk, in my life, with my family, with the blessings of God, if I just would obey you. How much more time are you gonna waste? I mean, how long do you wanna go on this trip? You know? I hear single people say, but I can't break up with them because we've been together so long. So length of mistakes means it's not a mistake? Oh, I'm coming for you today. Because God loves you enough to tell you, do you want to have to be propped up, bleeding out longer? Or are you gonna finally obey the Lord? When are we gonna start taking God serious that he has a good plan for us? But did you notice something? He had the plan for you long before you came and prayed to him. He already had a plan. He's like, yeah, I had these plans. So Lord, when did you make those plans? The Bible says he knew you before you were even made. In fact, it says he even had plans for you. He had designs for you, is what the Bible says, before the foundation of the world was in place. So he basically designed the whole world, the whole universe, and he had already had you on his mind and knew the plans he has for you. But you need to come along and go, but God, this is what I want. And God's like, well, that's true. You've had a good 35 years now. I'm sure you've got really a lot more on me since I've only been around since all eternity. But you've had 35 years, so you probably know better than I do. Do you hear the arrogance that we have? Oh, Lord, I know what your plans are. I got better plans. Let me tell you, do you have any idea how arrogant that is in the face of God? God's like, I literally designed you. Quit trying to play ball in the street. I've designed a whole backyard with boundaries set up for you. The whole thing is literally designed for you, and yet you continue to insist in playing the street. And you wonder why when you fall in the street that you skin your knees up. See, this wasn't designed for this. But you can sit here and bleed out and call me mean. Or you can realize I have a whole world right behind the house here that your loving Father designed for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. But you keep demanding your own way. Number two, stubbornness always has a price. It does. Oftentimes we run from God or we run in front of God. In this case, the issue is not that God doesn't want Ramoth-Gilead to be a territory that is under Israel's control. He did, but this was not the time. So a lot of times when we're disobeying God, it's because we want what we want now. And God's like, I have something for you, but will you just wait? We have to learn to wait. So what do we need to do? The better way is this, number three, surrender your will and seek God sincerely. What does seeking God sincerely mean? It means, God, I really want to know what you want, and I'm willing to do it even if it hurts. That is sincerely seeking the Lord. If you've ever known someone or been yourself a cancer patient, they often prescribe things that hurt but help, right? Like, you're gonna have to do this and it's gonna make you sick and you're gonna lose your hair, but we may save your life. So is that a mean doctor, or is that a doctor who's like, I'm actually trying to help you not just be propped up and then 2 months from now or 6 months from now just plop over and that's it? So we can pretend and put on makeup like we're healthy and we can look the part and we can give you drugs that just make you feel good, and then you just die. Or I can lovingly tell you the hard things you need to do, and we can extend your life for a couple decades. It's your choice. But please don't call me a mean doctor because I'm bringing a hard truth. God loves you so much, he loves you enough to warn you. He's warning someone today. And guys, when you act like God's mean because he warns you, which one of us gets to skip repentance? No one gets a pass. To be a part of Christ's family is to repent of your sins. Sin just means missing the mark. Repent of where you're not doing what God's perfect will is. We all have to constantly, this morning as I'm going over this message, God's convicted me of things. I'm like, Lord, you're right. I need to change that area. Thank you for reminding me that. I know if I'll do that, you're rewarding God. I'll obey you. If I do obey you, you'll reward it. If I don't obey you, there's a consequence that comes with that too. So Lord, I want to obey you. This doesn't go away in your life. You don't get past this. All of us have to face this kind of moment. Look what Jesus said. Luke chapter 22. Now, Jesus had to do this. Let me say that again. Jesus had to do this. So what makes you think we have a pass, right? God's son, he said this, not my will, but yours. Not my will, God, but yours. Psalms 27, let me give you the most bold thing you need to learn to do. This, and me too. This is one of the most bold things you can ever do. Here it is. Wait patiently. Wow. See, we think, be bold, be courageous, run on out there, go take the hill. And God's like, don't take the hill. You're like, what? Yeah, wait for me. He says what? Wait patiently for the Lord, be brave and courageous. Sometimes the brave thing is what you don't do. Sometimes the courageous thing is what you don't say. Let's just ask how it's gone in the past. You're like, I don't like to do that. I just like to go straight forward and you know what? I'm gonna go and I'm gonna tell my boss how it is. How'd that work out last time? Really, just how that, you know, when you just wanted to say what you wanted to say to your spouse and just, I don't care, I'm gonna let them know. How'd that go? I'm just curious, how'd that go? How'd it work out? When you just boldly went and just did what you wanted to do, and I'm gonna date who I wanna date, I'm gonna go do what I wanna do, I'm gonna say what I wanna say. How'd that work out? How many more bodies need to be strewn across the mountainside, Ahab, before you obey the Lord? Not only did he die, how many men died? You need to obey the Lord because it's bigger than you. When you don't obey the Lord, it's hurting your kids. It's hurting your marriage. It's hurting your ministry. It's hurting your credibility. It's hurting your future. So obeying the Lord is not just about you. It's way beyond you. It's all that God has for you. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Wait patiently for the Lord. Let's go back to Jeremiah 29:11. We'll wrap it up. I want to read this slowly. I want you to get it. You ready? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then he says this, then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And he says what? And I'll listen to you. Did you catch the relationship side of that? He's like, oh, I'll hear you out. So sincerely seeking God doesn't mean you deny what you want. You just tell him. It's okay to say, God, I want what you want, but I really want what I want too. And God's like, thanks for the honesty. I'm gonna listen to you. He says, I will listen to you. He's like, oh Lord, I pray that you would just have your will in my dating life, but I really like this person. Could you let that work out? But if it doesn't, okay. God's like, thank you for your honesty. It doesn't mean you deny what you want. bring it to me, and maybe God will say, okay. Or maybe God will say, I know you really want that, but I've got something better. Just be honest. Just tell the truth. Sometimes my prayer is like this, Lord, I want to walk with you. But God, honestly, sometimes I don't. I just want you to walk with me. I want to do what I want. But I know that's wrong. You know, David said things like that. You know, David, his prayer, he used to pray this, God, smite my enemies. Kill them all. Kill them all, God. Let the bodies hit the floor. Boom. Kill them all. That was his prayer. That was obviously not a godly prayer. But then by the end of the Psalms, he'd say, but God, I know you're loving and compassionate, blah, 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 whatever, right? He was so frustrated by that. He's like, okay, I know you don't want to kill them because I know they're your children too, so love them too, whatever. And so you could see the heart of David changing. So God's like, come to me in all honesty, even if your honesty is wrong, and I will turn you towards my will. So it's okay to ask what you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to give it. But trust that the Lord knows best. So I will listen to you. Then it says what? Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What does all your heart mean? It means there's no area of my life that's off limits to you, God. If you say to God, God, what do you want? What's your will? I'll do whatever you want, unless it has to do with my dating life. Lord, whatever you want in my life, I'll do it, except my finances. Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it, but don't ask me to submit to my parents. You don't know who they are. God's like, oh, I have no idea who they are. I've never even met them. Yeah, he created them too. He's well aware. He knows who your boss is. Well, oh, the Bible says to submit to your authority, but you don't know my boss. God's like, yeah, I do. I do know who they are. And I know that you need to learn to submit to someone that you completely disagree with and learn to do it with a smile on your face. Because one day, if you want to be the boss, you're going to have people that have to do that with you. So I cannot take you to the next level until you pass this test. So my challenge for you is, where is God saying, here's some hard truth today. Obey the Lord, even if it's not easy, and I will bless you. I will protect you. Ahab, I know you really want Ramoth-Gilead, but you're not even going to have your life if you do this. Not only are you not going to have the territory, you won't even be alive. And he ignored God. Where are you ignoring God? Seek me with all your heart. He says, you'll be found. You'll hear me. He says, I will be found by you if you seek me with all your heart. But you know what we do to God? We go, God, I'm there. I'm there. 90% of the way, Lord, I'm there. God's like, mm-mm. Try that at home today. Husbands go home and go, babe, I am faithful to you 90% of the time. See how that works out. 99.9 faithful. Percentages are in your favor. She'd be like, no, sorry. Not interested in that at all. God's no different. Let's not ask God to prop us up anymore. Where are you bleeding out? Where are you bleeding? Because wherever you're bleeding out is where you're disobeying. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. Where's God speaking to you today? He's saying, hey, I want all your heart. I want you to be willing to trust me, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when the answer right now is no. Even if this is not the person. Even if that's not the job. Even if you don't get the raise. Even if you don't get the door opened. God says, I have a good plan. So quit demanding your own and trust in the Lord's. God's plan is so good. How much is God about you? He sent his son to die for you. Can there be a greater gift? I don't believe there can be. Jesus gave his life for you. He died for your sin and for mine, and then he rose from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you and me to individually receive him. You can pray this prayer. You can receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's the first step. And God's will is to know him. His overarching will is for everyone to know him. Not all will. Not all will come to him, but you can. You can pray this prayer and you can receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Pray this prayer with me. We're going to say this out loud across all of our campuses. You can just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand high right now if you just gave your life to Christ? All of our campuses right now, right here, broadcasters, hands going up. Praise God. Just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. Right there at Rodfield. Praise God. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Stone Oak. God's moving right now at Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Portland. Hold those hands high. Right there at Padre Island. Hold those hands high. In our prison ministry, hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. If you're online with us right now and you just gave your life to Christ, you just pray the prayer for the very first time, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text, my hand's raised, or click, hand raised. Father, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, God, for the way you're working through us. And God, thank you, Lord, for the person today who maybe just got hit in the face with a hard truth. God, we don't want to sit here and bleed out and pretend like our will is working. So we surrender our will to you, not my will, Lord, but yours. Because God, I know that I know that I know, and I say this in faith, you have a good plan, and it's better than mine. Thank you for your word and your truth today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Pastor?